need to find it.
Is that why you're reading?
No, why am I reading is because I want to share with Steven what he was talking about.
The
golden lampstand when it was built
over Exodus 25. So
Steven, you got questions about what we did Tuesday?
Anybody got questions?
No, Steven did. I want to know what it was about. Oh, that's what he said?
No, it was just on the verse of, like, the sacrifice, like, Jesus' sacrifice, and then between Moses and...
Oh, the sacrifice.
The sacrifice?
Once a year.
Can we see it?
The Yom Kippur sacrifice, the Day of Atonement?
No, I'm reading about the, like, I guess, the correlations between Moses and his faithfulness to God and then Jesus's.
Oh.
Yeah, through Hebrews and stuff like that.
Right.
So.
There's a lot of correlation.
Are we ready?
Yes, we are ready.
Okay.
So this section, we're at Revelation 1, starting at verse 9, right?
Amen.
I believe so.
Let's start. Okay.
All right, so here we go.
Okay.
It says, I, John, your brother and companion in suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on an island of Patmos. Because of the word of God and testimony of Jesus, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. And I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Samaria, to Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven gold lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I will hold the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and on the seven gold lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels and of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Pretty deep, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, deep. Absolutely.
Sounds pretty epic, huh?
I like the way you read it.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. There's some, like...
I know, he grabbed my shoulder and he's like... I was like, man, right. I'm feeling intense right here.
He's going to the red words.
And he put his right hand on me, and I was like,
I was like, man, it's getting really deep right here.
That's how this whole book read. Like, I read that whole book like that every time. That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds pretty epic to me. So, what do you guys think? Come on, it's something.
Amazing.
That's it, just amazing.
Seven churches,
I have to be
seven
assured
stars.
Oh, okay. So what do you think of him being on the island of Patmos?
I was going to say, well, can we start it? Break it down
verse by verse.
Okay, yeah, we can do that. It says, I, John, your brother and companion in suffering and kingdom and patience endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. What does that mean to you?
That he was exiled there?
For what reason?
It was like they were doing like the whole anti-Christian thing.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
That's it.
It said it.
Yeah, it said it right there. Remember, it was the because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus.
Yeah, he was exiled there.
That's what I did.
And a lot of Christians were just John.
A lot of Christians at this point.
At Patmos?
Yeah, I think at this point, I think all the disciples have been killed for their faith at this point.
She's got a question.
Who?
Your wife.
Oh, what you got?
I'm at verse
7. Oh, you gotta wait. Oh,
okay.
Okay.
So Patmos was a place for them to.
Patmos is a place that you can visit to this very day. It was a volcanic island. You can see the cave that John spent his time in, I believe.
Field trip.
Yeah, you can actually go there.
That's expensive field trip for the church.
Huh?
Isn't that the name they call it now?
I'm not sure. It could be St. Patmos.
I think it is.
Yeah, it was under the Caesar that followed Nero. I think it was like something with a D. Can't remember. But he was still. They were still up against Christians, and they tried to boil John alive. And instead of boiling alive, he swam in it and cooked his carrots in it, you know, and ate while he was in there. And they said, oh no, we can't kill him.
He meant this, sorry.
And they exiled him.
Okay.
He meant he was having fun at parties.
Like he swam around in there.
Where they put that guy in the fire furnace and God was right there with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
who was that?
Oh.
That was... Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego,
and
Daniel. Yeah, it's because they wouldn't bow down their feet to the king.
Yeah,
he had created this huge idol about himself.
And legend has it that from that very day, spas were invented.
That's a good talk about. I think we were muted earlier, so hello, Jocelyn.
Hello, Jocelyn.
Hello, Saved by Grace.
Hello, Saved by Grace.
No, Shaved by Grace.
That's Shaved by Grace.
Oh.
No, there's no H in there.
No. It's Shaved by Grace now.
Oh, on your contact it is.
That's the name now.
Right.
And then, so yeah, what do you guys think of that? You think you could survive a boiling?
No, no.
If God allowed it, yes.
God, Lord willing, huh?
Only with God you can do all things.
Yeah. Me and Matt were just talking about this, and actually another friend too, that, you know, what we're about to read, when we start into chapter 4, the things that are going to start happening, you know, we're going to be, well, actually we're going to be not here, but people are going to be subject to these things, right? And they're going to have to make a choice. And most people are going to cave. Most people are going to cave. And would we even cave? You know, it's hard to say. You know, it's different. It's one thing when it's for yourself, right? But what if they threaten your children? What if they threaten people you love, right? And take this mark or your kids are going to die. Take this mark or your kids aren't going to be fed. You know, when they put it that way, then you start, it really brings it home. You know, We got to remember what we're living for on the other side, and that this world is destined to pass away, you know, and so take no stock in it. You know, we're not of this world, and we live for the other side. And so we know who butters our bread. We know who takes care of us. You know, we just talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they got thrown into this fire, and it was made hotter than hot. Even some of the guards throwing people in
turned to ash.
Yeah, and so it was so hot when they were thrown in. But what happened to them? They looked down, and there was a fourth man in the fire. It was Jesus. He was in there with them, and they were singing and praising, and they didn't even smell like smoke. You know, so we know where our hope comes
living
from.
Living water.
We gotta turn, especially when the chips get down. We gotta turn to our hope,
mm-hmm.
the one who holds our future.
And the fact is, also, is you don't think that they weren't afraid.
Oh yes.
They trusted the Lord, but at the same time, they must have been afraid because they're like, okay, well, I'm going to go to death for trusting in the Lord. But,
amen.
And they honestly thought they were going to die, too.
I think they were more bold about it. They were like, we ain't worshiping you.
Yeah.
You're a man, bro.
Mm-hmm. You're going to kill us? Then
I don't think they were afraid. I think they were just firm in who they were.
Yeah.
Like, they were as bold as, like, the early Christians of the first century. Like, they were ready. They were like, all right, this is the true chains we're supposed to wear.
About the Christians who get sacrificed only cause more Christians to follow.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know? So, like, having that firm faith and believing it.
Yeah,
to the end, you know.
So no matter what you come up against, turn to God, cling to Him. Don't be shaken. Don't be stirred. Don't let this rock your faith. You know, it's easier said than done. You know, because we are emotional people and we get driven by those emotions. But if you turn to Christ. We can't do it on our own. We have to turn to Him. And that's where our strength comes from. He is our strength. He is our hope. He is our rock, our salvation. He's immovable. And that's where we need to turn. That's where we need to stand, no matter what. We all have our moments, but turn to Him. Because He's the Alpha Omega, beginning and end, and will always be there. Nothing's going to move Him. Nothing's going to rock Him. And they didn't even take his life. He surrendered his
mm-hmm.
life.
Yeah, that's one thing. Definitely put on there. Surrendered it.
Mm-hmm.
On to the next verse.
Mm-hmm.
It says, on the Lord's day I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet.
Super loud.
Yeah, real loud, right?
Mm-hmm.
My bad. What were we?
Right.
Verse 10.
Oh, 10. Okay.
I feel that.
Verse 10.
Chapter
1.
Okay. Yeah. My bad.
No, you're good.
Wait for me.
I want to be part of it.
You found it.
Really cool.
So what's the Lord's Day?
The first day of the week.
How do you know?
It says
on the foot. No,
the last. It just because I hear literally in the reference.
It's the first day of the week.
I literally
right?
just went to Acts where it says, and it says now on the first day of the week.
I've always heard. Saturday.
Okay, wait a minute.
Oh, you've always heard Saturday.
Well, but I don't know.
The Sabbath is Saturday. The Sabbath always.
Yeah, the
Saturday.
Sabbath is the last day of the week. Remember, the seventh day we rest. The first day.
On my study guide for Revelation, because that's what I'm going through right now.
Okay.
It says here, the loud voice is like a trumpet plus was an announcement of the Lord's coming. So I'm taking it. Yeah.
That's,
Lord's
you know,
coming.
You know what
now, I don't know what all this mean about you guys saying
mm-hmm.
the seven. I'm not. But
well, that's
the
what
Lord's
I was
coming.
Pointing to on Tuesday in Thessalonians. You'll hear the trumpet, and the Lord comes in the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
It's announcing
it's,
the Lord's
that's
coming,
what it's
that
saying
trumpet.
Yeah.
Can I kind of touch on that real fast?
Yeah.
Go for it. All right, so mine's a study Bible page, and then it says here, there were more than seven churches in Asia, but seven means fullness, and the seven churches then represent all the Christian communities.
Mm-hmm.
Seven is the perfect number, and this is why the book of Revelation, Christ's name is mentioned seven times. Jesus 14 times, and the Lamb who is Christ 28 times.
Mm-hmm.
There are seven prophecies of Christ's victory with the people and seven unities
mm-hmm.
like those of the gospel. Happy those, the stars, the angels, and the lampstands. These three images may imply fullness to designate a church, its bishops, and its believers together.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So that's the loud announcement.
Yeah, the trumpet announcing the Lord, the coming of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. To
so,
look up.
Yeah, yeah.
So
oh,
what
I
is
mean,
the Lord's
that,
day?
Right, yes. It is the coming, to look up when we hear that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The day the Lord comes? Can we back that up with Scripture?
Huh?
No? Can we back that up with Scripture?
Yeah. Yeah. Coming of the Lord?
Speaking of the song.
I'll find finds
us. I haven't had one with me either.
He's pointing it out because he has one. No.
Okay,
no.
You got it?
No, I just know what the Lord's Day means when it comes to other
stuff. Hi, Roger.
I didn't even see it that way, but it makes sense if it's talking about.
Let me see.
The I'll day of the know. Lord.
Okay. Give me like a minute.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because I think it was just, he was just spending time with the Lord that day.
Well, okay, so real quick, back when it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, right? Just from the reference you go to Acts 10:10,
okay.
It says, then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. So in the Spirit, it's, and then this one, he had the vision. It says, and I saw heaven open up, an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to earth. So
you saw Jacob's ladder?
No. Yeah. That was just the, so is it, it's speaking on like the vision, right? Like he went into a trance, which he was in the Spirit speaking to God, right? Because it's the vision that he had.
So
no?
The day of the coming is his resurrection? The day of the coming is his resurrection?
Can I read what it says real quick?
Go for it.
Yes, please do.
Yeah. It says, John had been condemned on an account of his faith, and he was living in exile on Patmos. It was around the year 95. John has this vision on the Lord's Day, that is on Sunday, or the day of the resurrection. And so the vision will be and living.
So that's the way I see mm-hmm. the Lord's Day is like the day that they gathered, mm-hmm. which was technically the first day of the week for the first fruits. Because mm-hmm. I think it's also mentioned in Acts that they would gather on the first day, mm-hmm. and not the last day, mm-hmm. to be separate from the Jewish people.
Yeah, that's what I was going to touch on. Yeah. I started that because of the Sabbath was on Saturday, and they didn't want to upset the Jews. So they started meeting on the Sunday, on the first day of the week. Well, it's also the day of the resurrection.
Yeah.
So that's why Sunday worship came to be.
But according to Tony, it'd be on Monday. We go to church on Monday.
Yeah, but it's the last day.
So you guys go to
Sunday.
Did you not just hear the explanation?
That's Elvis.
Yeah, she. Don't, I already tried to explain to her.
Look how the calendar's laid out.
I do not agree with that.
Tony, look how our calendar is laid out. Sunday is the first.
For me, it's Monday.
Oh, but if you look at the calendar, Sunday is first. Sunday, Monday, Saturday. Tuesday, Wednesday.
No, it's Monday to Sunday.
Sure.
Where I come from.
Sure.
Look at this one right here.
Google
even has it. Oh, wow.
Yeah, but like I was trying to use scripture, you know, to show you that.
Also, Sunday is the last day, right? Last day.
What day did the Lord raise?
Saturday.
The first day.
Saturday? How do you know? What day is Passover?
The Bible said the first day of the week, Monday or Sunday.
When do we celebrate Jesus' death?
Friday.
What's 3 days later?
Sunday.
What day did the Lord raise?
Thursday,
I just watched
Monday.
Revelation.
Oh, Monday.
No, that's not 3 days. Hello? Excuse me?
What is the first day of the
week? First day of the week is Monday. If you exclude the weekend.
Yeah.
If you exclude the weekend, the first day of the week is Monday. But if you include all 7 days, the first day is
Sunday.
But he started to create the world on a Monday, right?
No.
Sunday.
First day of the week. Look.
On a Sunday. On a
because Sunday. His day of rest was the Sabbath day, which is Saturday.
That's why 7 days.
But the thing is saying here. I think you just go to church on Sunday because we gather on the Lord's Day.
I'm not sure, but it is correct. It is observed by most Christians as the weekly memorial of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is said to have been raised from the dead early on the first day of the week. Yep.
You are in America right now.
So he was.
So what is the last day of the week?
Appears only one in Revelation 1:10.
Okay.
Right. Well,
so if we use that logic,
so I'm
why
not sure.
do so I'm the Jewish people rest on the seventh day if they actually rest on the sixth day?
Your mind just went.
So like, if the Jewish people rest on the Sabbath, right? Why do they rest on the Sabbath? Because on the seventh day, the Lord created the earth.
And then they rest, right?
On the seventh day.
On the seventh day.
Okay, follow
me.
Follow me.
The week.
Are you following
Sunday.
Me? No. You're not listening to me. Here we go. Ready? Why do the Jewish people then celebrate the Sabbath on a Saturday?
You tell me.
Because that's the day of rest. The seventh day.
Seventh day.
God,
yes.
God
day of
laid
rest.
Out.
Day of rest. Sunday. Day of rest.
I don't think you're listening to me. She's just like, wall. I'm just talking to a wall.
Six days of creation, and on the seventh day he rested.
Teenagers
and that's
awesome.
The example.
Yeah,
they're
so awesome.
Creating
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday,
creating,
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Creating Sunday, or creating Saturday is the Sabbath day, the day of rest.
When it was made.
It was the example.
Like, yeah, I know. She's going to be there. No, wall. She's going to talk to the Lord. He's like, wall. No.
Explain it to me like a kid.
I'm
going to
ask God when I'm in heaven, and I'm
going to
ask him if the day
begins
on Monday. And he's...
I think we're just
going to
know it.
You know what?
Just gonna know it that way.
I can tell it like this. Yeah. It's a disputable matter, and it doesn't matter.
What's that?
That's the last
right?
of the week. Wait, the court action international.
It's so.
Yeah, I know. But,
it doesn't.
I don't think she understands what the ISO is.
So, is the day of the Lord?
Sunday.
So what do you guys think? Is the day of the Lord
Sunday?
I understand it.
Oh, no, in the reference of the scriptures.
The day of the Lord was the day that they went to
church. Is it the day he got back, or is it just like he was on set? It was the first day of the week.
No?
It was just their church day.
It was just their church day?
John
on the Isle of
John
Patmos.
John went on his church day.
See, he got exiled.
So that's what I was
going to
ask. Would it be considered like, so would it be just considered a holy day?
Yeah.
Like, in reference to it?
He brought it.
You know what?
Sorry, I was going to take it.
And check out what Paul said.
No, you're preaching it. I was already going there.
Okay, go there.
If you go.
Apostle Paul
Let
says,
us go there.
I know, yeah. It's like in Romans, right?
Romans what?
It's in, give me a sec. That's Colossians? I thought it was in Romans.
It's in both.
Where it says regarding which day is holy.
Regarding
I'm
you.
I'm a little lost now, okay.
Days.
He would know. He's a Roman.
I think that's a different context. People would hold certain days more holy than others.
Yeah, it is.
It is, but it's also talking
about
the Sabbath.
About
well, that's and that's what we're
Romans
talking about. The,
so let us read it then.
Not putting one,
it's
esteeming
in,
one day higher than another.
Where's he going?
Romans.
Are we all caught up and staying connected to what's going on?
I just want to know if he's going to Romans or
okay.
Colossians.
One second here. I'm lost on books.
Yeah.
Okay.
I need to read
Colossians just says this.
So while they're double checking this,
yeah.
I looked up on Quora. Why is Saturday is the last day of the week? First comment. Because God said so.
That's pretty funny.
Thank you.
Well, you get it now, Tony.
God said so. So it was.
It's
that's
Romans
the bottom
14.
Oh, wait, it is Romans 14.
Yeah, he says here.
Mainly too straight, bro. Mainly too straight.
Because I have a
you
mark to cross, right?
Hey,
14.
Bro.
That's been really good.
Yeah, but this is like...
14.
Where are we at?
14.
I'm going to read.
I feel
not,
like this is a different
okay.
context.
I want to read two verses
okay,
in
it's
Colossians.
Okay,
just write them down. You don't need to turn.
Colossians. Okay.
Make sure you
turn Colossians 2:16.
That
right?
Being weak and strong.
And
yeah.
17.
And all of that.
And I got these right. And I got the numbers right, just so
yes,
you know.
Yes, he got the numbers.
Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink. He's talking about people being judged by
yeah.
doing what they do
yeah.
here, just to
Colossians
put the context.
Two.
Like don't let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of things to come that were... of things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. And that's what Colossians says about it. It's like, don't let anyone judge you about this. You know what? But it's even deeper in Romans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So where are we at? In Romans?
Romans 14.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Okay.
That's the right thought.
Right on, sister. She said Romans 14.
Because he said he's going to
Romans. I'm just
going to
read the whole chapter, so we're not out of context.
Better
read Romans. Okay.
Find it.
It'll be the biggest eye-opener you ever do.
It will.
Just the first.
Like, you know, like the 1500s and like the Enlightenment period just exploded? Book of Romans. People just started reading that.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to read the whole chapter 14 real quick.
Okay. Romans what?
14.
Oh,
14.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I want us, like Jacob said, I want to keep us in context so that we understand the whole entirety of it.
Okay.
But it says 14:1, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man's faith, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on the man who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. And he who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and no one dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he may be Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on each other. Instead, make up your mind not to put a stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider to be good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing God and approved by men. Therefore, let us keep every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. So, whether you believe about these things, keep them between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself, but what he approves. But the man who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he is eating. His eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. So, the reason why I bring it up is at the beginning, right? It makes no sense at first.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, he tells us in verse 5 down, one man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. That, in my case, what I can see is the Lord's day is that day that you consider sacred. Whether it be every day that you step with the Lord, or the single day that you decide to meet with the Lord. Whether it be Sunday, Monday, Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, whatever it may be. The day that you spend with the Lord is the Lord's day in your case, because you're making that day about the Lord.
Right.
fact, you're I wonder spending, how come the food had to be.
Yeah, but
the,
like, yeah. But you're doing so for the Lord. It's not the Lord's
day.
Yeah,
it's a dedicated
day. Right.
Right.
It's right. You're doing it out of your heart, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And Mike said, or yeah. Saved by Grace said, the Lord's day is Sunday, the first day of the week. This was the disciples' custom, not to be mistaken with the day of the Lord, which is the day of wrath. You know, and so they're just making a historical point here in this letter that, look, this is the day John was worshiping.
Okay.
This is the day, the Lord's day.
That's why I brought
and
it.
And so that's...
We got a question from Tony.
So what does the food mean in here? Does it, like, stand for the actual food, or does it
stand? It does stand for the actual food. But it's talking about the correlation between all those things. Like, right. People do certain things for the Lord, but don't get in the way of telling that person that's not the case, right? When you mm-hmm. dedicate something for the Lord,
mm-hmm.
dedicated.
If you were like, if you dedicated Sunday as your Sabbath, right? Mm-hmm. And I got in the way of your Sabbath, right? But you did it for the Lord, then I would be in the wrong.
Yeah.
You see,
so it's talking about like. Is it like offering more food to God? Is it what's that?
No, that's like just eating. So some people are vegans, right? They don't like.
Yeah, so you shouldn't complain that they're vegans.
Yeah,
they can eat whatever they want to eat.
And if they want to be vegans and they get and you would stumble by eating meat in front of them, mm-hmm. right? Don't eat meat in front of them, you know,
right.
Because it would cause them to stumble.
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't edify your brother. Mm-hmm. You cause your brother to stumble.
Right.
You see?
On Tuesday. After the Bible study, me and Matt were talking about something, but I kind of, like, in the same context of what this is, I was telling them, like, as Christians, we should be the most clueless people in the world about everybody's affairs,
mm-hmm.
you know? It should literally be mm-hmm. nose forward, eyes on God, and that's it. It does not matter, you know, what everyone else is doing. And
amen.
It's even crazier to read it in context when it's like, if it's for them, then let it be for them, you know? Like, that's
right.
Their dedication.
The sword is defensive, it's not offensive. Mm-hmm. It's not to attack people with.
Hmm.
It's
to
defend our lives.
Right.
No,
that's why
doesn't.
He used three different things, right? He said it was food,
yeah,
it was
three, like,
right.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to show
food, what else
yeah.
did he choose?
I
whatever you choose
in
to
regard
do.
Here, I'm doing some research, right? Mm-hmm. Quietly listening to, but I don't know. Acts 20, and I think it says here.
Acts 20.
On the first, it says on Acts 20.
Receive.
I think it was where Stephen. Mm-hmm. On the first day of the week, we gather with the local believers to share the Lord's supper.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what it means. I think.
I think so too.
That's just straight to the point.
Yeah.
To nail it.
Wow.
That's it. It's done.
Got it.
It is.
Very cool.
And that's what you just said too. That they would meet up. Right.
Right. And that's what all they were doing is the historical reference of when what. Day John was
the
day
it.
They came.
He was exiled on Patmos.
No, that's it. That's the day.
Right.
Sunday dinner.
That's the day. The supper. The Lord's supper.
Oh, right.
Whoever
you hold.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Did
you,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
But in that passage he just read, and because since we broke that open and we're touching on it,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's not just about food.
Yeah.
It's about anything. Because look, we're called to something higher, right? And if we're doing stuff that offends people, even if it's not wrong, if it's offending someone, we need to not do it, because we are trying to show Christ to people. I used to use this wholeheartedly in my drinking, right? If my drinking causes someone to stumble, then I'm not going to drink. That's just the way it was for me, and that's what. That's what caused me to stop drinking in front of people.
Yeah.
Now, that last verse that said, keep it to yourself, right? But then when I was hiding it, God convicted me of that too. If you got to hide this, is it right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it right if you got to hide this?
No,
look, we know people who are like alcoholics or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Say you come to church, right, and you don't have a problem drinking. And I'm not beating anyone up. This is each person's own conviction.
Mm-hmm.
This is just where I'm at. You know,
mm-hmm.
everyone has their own convictions.
Yeah.
Mine aren't yours, you know. And so I want to say that disclaimer off the bat. But so if I don't have a problem with drinking, right, but yet we got a new believer that comes into the church, and he's off on the wagon, right? He just went through AA, right? And now he's coming to church to get his life right, and then he happens to see me out in the restaurant having a beer and thinking, wow, Brother Paul does it. It must be okay. And it causes that man to stumble, causes him back into alcoholism, you know, because of he saw me do it. Then I'm responsible for that guy, even in my ignorance and not knowing. And so it's just food for thought on things, right? We have lives. We are accountable for the lives around us, you know, and the more we know, the more we learn, the more accountable we are. You know, God places people in our path, not to beat them down or stuff, but to show them who Christ is. And so we need to lead by example and put the world out and put Christ in, you know, and so that's where I took it. And that's where, you know, I think Paul was talking about anything that causes someone to offend, you know, think about it, you know, think about what you're doing. If the Holy Spirit nudges you, you know, what you just said might have hurt that person, you know, go to them and apologize. Even if, oh, no, it was fine. Well, at least you said it and you're conscious of it. You know, we are accountable to others, and that's the only way people are going to see who Christ is.
You said it.
Right? Just kidding.
It's literally that you said that they stopped doing meeting on the Sabbath because they didn't want to offend the Jews.
Absolutely.
You know? They started a whole new thing just to stay out of.
They also did fasting, the same thing. Yep. Like the Jews would fast, I think, on Wednesdays and Fridays, mm-hmm. and for the day of the Sabbath after. And so Christians of the early church would do Tuesday, Thursdays. Just so they wouldn't offend.
And see, that goes back to
pretty
the
deep.
Of the Lord. Jews put the day of the Lord being Saturday because that was the day they would meet up and put that day in esteem for the Lord. Mm-hmm. Gentiles would do it for Sunday, mm-hmm. or the disciples, as you would say, mm-hmm. did it for Sunday. The whole fact was, it's the day that you decide to put for the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the one verse in there is like, some esteem every day of life. Why? Because every day is a day to worship God, and that's the way it needs to be in our hearts.
It's called rest, everybody.
Every
rest.
Day. What you got, Nick? Nothing.
He's got sleep.
No, he's good.
All right, so back to the Bible study.
Right. So we beat up verse 10.
So did you? So what is our conclusion? Is there the conclusion?
It's not a specific day. It was whatever John was filling in worship with the Lord.
Yep. So is that what we're agreeing with?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No.
After all of this, I said no.
You good, Tony?
Monday. That's why I was laughing. That's why I was laughing. Because he's like, so what did we conclude? That he's Jewish. I'm just sure he's German.
That was good. That was funny. That was a good one. Yeah. That was a good one, man.
Oh, man.
That was a good one.
At least he came back real cute.
That was awesome.
My son said.
That was a good joke. I don't think she took offense to it.
All right.
A loud trumpet announcing the coming of the Lord.
Which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Why write to those churches?
Because those were his seven churches.
The Lord's seven churches.
Those were the seven communities that he set, right? What did you get that? Read out of?
Seven churches?
Yeah.
This the explanation of the seven churches.
Oh, it says that there was seven churches in Asia.
Yeah, seven churches in Asia.
What
But yeah, like, and he, when he read it too, there were more than seven churches. Just know that. Mm-hmm. But he picked out seven, yeah, and if you
one page,
if you follow these up,
he goes into what the churches are. Oh, yeah, that's, yeah, a little more understanding.
He says, right, there were more than seven churches in Asia, but seven means fullness, mm-hmm, and
right,
the seven churches then represent all the Christian communities. Seven, mm-hmm, is the perfect.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Seven. Yeah, that's it. Seven means completion,
mm-hmm, and it's the spirit. It's the spirit. It's the fruit of the spirit. Remember we went over that.
It's patient, kind, gentleness, and self-control.
Yeah,
I think
something like that.
So why are these the seven churches named then? What is the significance of the letter being directed?
I would not know that question. Yes. I would probably say that those were just the
churches.
The names of the city of the churches they were in.
Okay.
You know.
They did. If you plot those out, you'll see that they encompass they encompass an area, right? And so that was the whole known world for the Bible at that time, mm-hmm, right? There was more, but this is where Christianity was spreading, and this is where it got, and so, you know, it's like there were more disciples. You know, there were more disciples made, but why aren't they named? You know, you can't name it all. You can't bring it all in. But so he wrote a letter to each of these churches, but these letters aren't just to these churches. They're to everybody, mm-hmm, you know, and to get them out to these points of disbursement.
Okay.
Right. And that's, you know, if you, so like I said, lines, you look at it, it's a...
Like the whole, like, all roads lead to Rome type thing, right? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's what my book says, all roads lead to Rome.
So these...
Well, because Rome built them all in that day.
Yeah.
So
it
was almost like a point of, like, access to get the information,
right,
out. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like, from the map, it looks like it was, like, the front line.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, wow. That's all the churches.
Okay.
It looks like the front lines.
Okay.
All right.
And who is the church today? Where is the church?
Stephen's the church.
Right?
Right here.
It's in your heart.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I said Stephen's the church.
Right? Close enough, just 18 inches away.
The church is in a building.
You're close.
And it, you know, and as we get into these letters, just know that, like, this letter's for this church, right?
We haven't got to that yet.
And this letter's for that church, and this letter. But it's not that this was the only church doing that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these letters were to be shared.
Mm-hmm.
But it's to point it out. Look, each one of them's got a trouble. Each one of them's got a problem. And you know what? I've heard even sermons. I think even Matt had one, like in different stages of our life. We fall into this letter, and then now I'm in Smyrna, now I'm in Ephesus, mm-hmm, now I'm in Philadelphia. You know, it's different aspects of our life too, because we all fall into this stuff. You know, and so
yeah, there's all kinds of like interpretations of the seven letters, like the church age, the individual themselves, because it says double-edged sword. So as you read this, that's the take I like to take.
It cuts.
That thing,
yeah,
right here on my study is taking me to Revelation 22:8-10, Isaiah 6:8-9, Jeremiah 2:1-2, and Ezekiel 2:1-3 and 34:1-2. And it'll explain that passage right there.
All right, take us there.
Okay.
So
that sounds like a whole list. So.
Yeah. So it's Revelation 22:8. This is such a
spoiler.
Well, it's at that passage.
One says Revelation 22.
Well, good. Let's go to 21.
Oh, yours says. Okay, we're on it. It's okay. 22.
What, babe? 22:8.
Oh, okay.
You're right. 20. No, mine says 22:8 and 10.
8 and 10.
8 and 10.
8. Yeah. I don't know. That's what it's saying there.
I don't see anything out of that one.
Huh?
I just see, I, John, am one who heard and saw these things. Am I reading the right one?
Yeah.
22:8.
I hope so.
So what is it right there?
And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down and worshiped at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. Dang, I want to keep reading because it's so bomb, but that's a spoiler. Yeah. We're gonna leave that good stuff for later.
For later, okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
And then so why are you bound down to me? Sorry, spoiler.
Oh, I think I see it. Okay, okay.
What do you see? Share with
us. Well, it's on 10, I think. I'm 10? Just in my mind.
And he told me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this scroll because the time is near."
Yeah, I think of the seven churches.
Oh, because they mentioned the scroll.
I don't know. I could be wrong.
A lot of times.
I'm not going to know a lot in this book.
A lot
either.
Of times, the reference Bibles, when they pick on a key word, and then the cross reference a key word, and I think it was the scroll.
Ezekiel
right
2,
on the scroll.
1:3. Ezekiel chapter 2 verses 1 through 3 and chapter 34 1 through 2 Ezekiel.
And I'm going to go to Jeremiah 2.
I'm going to
Ezekiel.
Isaiah.
Isaiah what?
Ezekiel 2 1 through 3.
Verse 1 through 3 and then 34 1 and 2.
Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
This is the talking of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, here we go.
Isaiah what?
Isaiah 6, 8, and 9.
6, 8, 9, when he says, "Woe is me, I'm a dead man."
And then I heard
is that the right verse?
I'm in Isaiah 6, 8 through 9, then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom shall I send,
send me,
as a messenger to these people who will go for us?"
Isaiah, here I am.
Here I am. Send me. And he said, "Yes, go and say to these people."
You've read it that many times.
Oh, and see, and Jeremiah.
It's like when you watch
I went to Jeremiah 2.
I love the format of that. There's
I went to
being
Jeremiah
humbled,
2,
and then
1 through 2. The word of the Lord came to me, "Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says. I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the wilderness, through a land not sown." So that does that in
yeah,
with that? Is
if
that
you
for
see
the
it
land?
In the Holy Spirit, yeah. It's believe it's the to me it's the preparation of the scroll. That God's revealing
right.
to him.
Well,
that's
just,
how I've seen it.
Right, and that's what
I was Jeremiah 2.
The thread, what I see
yeah.
is bringing the scriptures are bringing in is write on a scroll what you see
mm-hmm.
and send it out. And he said, proclaim. One of them said, proclaim.
Proclaim.
One of them said, take it out. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I was talking
send
about
it.
The scroll.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay,
and taking the word out.
The writing of the scroll.
Because what did we read? Revelation 1. What verse is that? 3. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written, because the time is near. That's why he told him to read it. Jesus said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches.
I think it's a spoiler alert.
Go for it.
I think it's way into the spoiler where he actually takes that one piece of the scroll, the small one, and he actually tells him, eat it. It'll sour your stomach, but it'll taste like sweet as honey.
Oh, wow, how cool.
That goes in a way. That one,
yeah,
you have to wait for it. That one goes in a huge step.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
Sorry.
That one's
cool.
Good, though, but that one is...
I like the way it'll turn.
Yeah, you'll see what that is
see,
talking about.
That.
Yeah,
oh,
Elvis.
Don't say it.
They open up like that. That's what it is, and present it to the seventh.
I've texted everybody on that one. I've seen it a long time ago.
But if you see in the whole
boom,
spirit,
boom, boom.
See it in the whole, not in.
Because I can see
it.
So write this down and send it out to the churches. Send it out to the people. It's for everybody. Get this word out. And same what he's telling us. It wasn't just for those seven churches, but those seven churches were like hubs, like points.
Establish points?
Yep.
You're fine.
That's why
you don't need school to be.
Parts the hearts and everything out through the veins, the arteries, and
right. Why did he pick 12 disciples? I mean, there were, you know, there were twelve tribes, right?
He was having someone lead
presentation,
right? But actually, literally there were lots of people. He sent out 70 people when he sent them out. So why it's only pinning down 12?
Okay,
no, it's the same thing.
All right, what was your question, Mary?
My question is, did he pick 12 of different tribes? Is that who they came with them? Or did he just pick 12 people and sent them to those 12 tribes?
Well, two of them were brothers, so that means they're probably from the same tribe.
Same
yeah.
Okay. And then there were another pair of brothers, too.
Yeah, so there's
James and John.
So, no, he just went ahead and picked these people randomly, like he did.
Oh, and Simon is.
And then he sent them out to these.
Oh, just for the alumni.
I swore you sent someone else in.
But what is so beautiful?
I swore to have put someone else.
So beautiful that he picked two.
I thought so too. That's what I swore too.
I
swore you said Philip.
Oh, did I? Maybe I did.
That's why I was like,
I think you did say it.
Okay,
so we can reverse it. Let's reverse
the Lord's gonna sit here cracking up on that day.
Oh, yeah, you're supposed to.
Okay. Alright, Sloan, sing me a song.
Thank you, Sloan.
Nope.
We get on 11.
We're good on 11.
Yeah.
Right? The seven churches.
But
it's to everybody here.
So just turn
right?
around and see.
So here we go. Verse 12. It says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned around, I saw seven gold lampstands. Ooh.
That's messed up. Okay. He's being serious here.
What do you think those lampstands are?
Mike said before we move on, he said, every church letter is directed to certain people, but there's always things that apply to all believers, such as repentance in these letters.
Oh, repentance is huge.
That's number one.
Yes, repentance.
That's why it says it in every letter.
Yes.
That and I am first.
Oh my God, when I was reading it earlier today, repentance.
Repent and produce fruit. Yep. Oh wait, it says produce fruit by keeping in repentance.
Yeah.
Dang, I'm starting to memorize verses. I don't know what verse that is, but I know it's somewhere in Matthew in the beginning.
That's my problem.
So the seven lampstands, right?
Okay, lampstands.
Alright, so what are these?
I'll be honest.
Okay. Hold on. Does anyone have an idea of what these lampstands are?
Seven lampstands?
Dad can't answer them.
Not so much.
Me and Dad have the same answer.
So...
Like, what'd you say?
But real quick with what you were saying about like the whole reference thing and how it's just sometimes it's just a word. But in this one, but this reference right here, it kind of explains in Exodus.
Go ahead. No.
You already got there.
But it's just explaining. It's explaining like the structure and how it looks, and it's extending into like the lampstands.
Were you in Exodus
35? Exodus
the instruction manual.
Yeah,
25-35. Oh, that's what
this is for.
You have. The instruction manual.
This is where Matt
was bringing it. 25-35.
Exodus.
Okay.
You were there too.
Right here.
What?
Matt was going to bring us there.
Hey, that just confirms it.
Right?
What if the baby wishes for your presence?
Yes, sing to me.
You want to read? We can read like crazy.
That was Stephen.
She's like, oh, the owner of this hat is so cool.
Yeah. She is just so out of it. She's like, whoa. Yeah.
Couple more.
25?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's the instruction manual. Not when I built it.
Right there. You passed it.
You passed it.
Right there. Stop.
25, 35.
One more page.
Yeah.
All right, Sloan, go ahead and read.
All right, Sloan.
Goo goo gaga. Gaga doogie da.
Okay, so it says, and there shall be a knob under the first two branches of the same, and a knob under the second two branches of the same, and a knob under the third two branches of the same. According to the six branches that extend from the lampstand, their knobs and their branches shall be of one piece, and it all shall be one hammering piece of pure gold. Do you want me to give mine?
Yeah.
To the end?
Explain it.
You shall you shall make seven lamps for it, and they shall arrange its lamps so that they give light in front of it. And its wick trimmers trays shall be...
Amen.
There's a napkin.
And its wick trimmers and their trays shall be of pure gold, and it shall be made of talent of pure gold. With all these utensils, and see to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain. Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine woven linen and blue, purple, and scarlet thread with artistic designs of cherubim you shall weave in.
Now she's reading. So he's, what he's talking about is this lampstand was fashioned for the Holy of Holies. Mm-hmm. This was put into the Holy of Holies, and that's the place where God dwelt, right? And we're starting to see a picture of this here too. This lampstand had seven lamps, and if you've ever seen one, they're curved out. So there's like three on each side and one up in the middle.
The quick thing that I'm kind of feeling about the seven churches is, like Jacob said, the seven, like the fruits of the Spirit and so on and so forth. Is it just addressing the fact that they're not producing those spirits? And then, like Jordan was just saying, like they're the forefront from his map, right?
How's the law fulfilled?
On my book, on my study, is telling me something different than what you guys are saying. So, but I was digging, following the instructions, and I think it is. I understand.
Okay, where'd you go?
Okay, right now, let me just. It says here on Revelation 1, turn to see who's speaking. This statement refers to the loud voice, seven gold lampstands that lighting the mark was it? Mineral was a symbol of God's presence among his people. So they sent me to Exodus 27:21, and they say here, the lampstands will stand in the tabernacle in front of the inner curtain that shields the Ark of the Covenant. Aaron and his son must keep the lamps burning in the Lord's presence all night. This is a permanent law for the people of Israel, and must be observed from generations to generations.
These lampstands must keep their fire burning.
Yes, and I think
they're guiding people to the Lord.
Yeah.
Through his spirit. Yeah. And that spirit's the fire.
Yeah.
Good thing there's six more, right?
Well, I'm not one light away.
But I think that's what it is, what you guys call it.
In the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle.
We can say, and the standing in the middle, and now going back to Revelation, when I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven gold lampstands, and the standing in the middle of the lampstand was someone like the Son of Man. And that's what it is.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
It broke it down right there.
Absolutely, and his
spirit's
there.
His presence
there.
Is him.
And that's going back to the tabernacle in Exodus.
Uh-huh.
Where was the lampstand? It was in the Holy of Holies, where God's spirit dwelled, where the priest went to meet with God and atone for the sacrifices. You know, that's what Christ did too. Brought us to God. When Christ died on the cross, that veil was torn, and now we can all come to that holy place, right?
Yeah.
And, that's that lampstand,
uh-huh.
and it's pulling together like the church and the spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to to put it together, but it's like the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit within us, right? It's no longer just one entity. It's all of us who have the Holy Spirit, right? And this is the temple. This is the tabernacle now.
Yeah.
This is that holy place where God meets us, because that's where he dwells.
And then it took me to Leviticus 24:1. The Lord said to Moses, and this is the Old Testament, the Lord said to Moses, command the people of Israel to bring your pure oil and press olives for the light, to keep the lamps burning continually. This is the lampstand that stands in the tabernacle in front of the inner curtain that shields the Ark of the Covenant. Aaron must keep the lamps burning in the Lord's presence all night. This is the permanent law for you, and it must be observed from generations to generations. Mm-hmm. You then put us on.
Where were you at, Lynn?
Leviticus 24:1-3.
I'm just seeing a lot of, like, what you keep saying. Like, yes. When you read it, like, obviously there's the forefront of what you're just reading.
Yeah.
But then there's also, like, the spiritual, like, dwelling into it and what it's actually, like, getting across in the spirit. But even on just reading with the seven churches, the lampstand, the tabernacle, and all of that, it's all, like, spiritually and physically tied. And the appointing of the seven churches and why they're talking to just, like, the fruit of the spirit.
Why do you think they would take the tabernacle into war with them?
Zechariah.
For the presence of God?
Yeah. To show the representation of God is with them.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, now we can just walk with them and he's with us.
What is a tabernacle?
It's like a holy place. It's where you're able to connect with them.
At the time, it was a tent type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But until they ended up making the entire
altar.
It wasn't the altar.
Until they made
it. They made this huge temple for the Lord.
The temple of
Solomon. Is that what I was just talking about? The song,
Solomon's temple, yep.
Dude,
so
that's the first temple.
We are,
it was a tent of meeting.
What
was a meeting place with the
Arthur. This is what I've been reading and how it's all reconnecting, basically.
That's cool.
Hey, that Ark Covenant, have you guys heard where it's at? So supposedly,
I've heard where it's at.
It's like in the town.
Oh,
so
wow.
My
it stays there right there for you. Go to Zechariah.
Wait.
Go to Zechariah.
We'll wait till after.
That sounds like a different location than I know.
Oh, yeah. I know. I've heard many different locations.
What?
Ethiopia or something?
Ethiopia?
I heard that one too, and I've also heard that it's in a cave. In Jerusalem, under the
represents the eyes of the Lord. Look at that. All the world. I'm going to get that. Zechariah what?
Well, I'll find out one day.
Cuatro?
That'd be
also,
cool.
Two.
Ten. Which ones are you right?
Those four, what?
Or are they all wrong?
Zechariah.
The trumpet thing, right?
All right, let's go.
Have you guys
four
ever...
Ten. Four ten.
Just try your hardest to think. Have you ever heard wings flap?
No.
Yes,
well,
I have.
From African gray,
In complete silence.
No.
Yeah. Right?
They're always squawking.
Well, just okay.
I,
so,
I actually have owl wings.
So there was one time when I was just sitting, and it was, for whatever reason, it was just super quiet, and then I heard, like, I think it was like two crows flying right next to each other, right? And I had just read a verse where it was like, oh, the angels came down like rushing waters. And so it was just trying to correlate what I had just heard to what I had just read.
Right.
And it was kind of like mind-boggling, because just those two birds flapping together was like kind of like startling. It was like, oh, what the heck? Because you don't ever hear that,
right?
So then to hear that, like, oh, angels came swooping down and it sounded like rushing water, it's just kind of like, wow, that's like extremely loud. So then in reference to that, now that when I've had that experience and I read like, oh, as a trumpet or as this or as thunder or whatever,
right.
I try to think of like, okay, so trumpet's just loud, right? So then it's presenting himself, it's just like as a trumpet, so when he presents himself saying, it's like, try to think of like complete silence out of nowhere, you just hear boom, you know?
An announcement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was going to say, if back in the times when a king was entering in an area, you had officials that would announce his coming.
Mm-hmm.
They would have da-da-da-da and like all these trumpets and stuff to announce that this person who is like high up there in high esteem is coming into this area and to present themselves before him.
I always think of those like really like long tubes. Trumpets,
yeah.
Or one's blowing in, and it's like a big old
yeah.
The shofar,
you know, whatever.
Oh no,
the shofar is a goat horn.
You're thinking
the one that's like it takes like it's got to be mounted. It probably comes off of a 20-ton truck. You know what I mean? You can't just carry it around.
Oh, you're thinking like those war.
Yeah, like it's an announcement.
A war, yeah,
like someone broke the barrier. You know.
So, because there's been like maybe there's videos, like live videos of all over the world, okay? And this was, I was like maybe 2019, 2020, and I was YouTubing Gabriel's trumpets, and there's live video of people like, oh my god, can you guys hear this? And they're like in London, England, and opens
yeah, school, they could hear it.
And he's like, you guys hear that? And Simon's just, yeah, it's scary, bro. It's the chillest thing in the world. But this was like 3-4 years ago, bro. Yeah,
yeah.
It's all
yeah, those videos are long.
But I can definitely tell you the thing is,
but is it AI or
what does it mean? It just sounds like someone's trying to, you know.
It was pre-AI.
Convince me otherwise of the trumpet was called.
Yeah, I haven't really ever heard of an explanation on it either. Like yeah, just kind of.
I would just say it's the first scroll.
Yeah, right.
It's the second scroll.
Oh no!
Apparently, there is a video comes out more scrolls.
But no, in my thought process, because what it says here is not here, but it says that the whole world is going to hear him.
Okay.
Because the spirit of the Lord is going to be taken out of the world. So for only one side of the world to hear it and the other side not, you know for a fact it's not the Lord.
See, in their society,
but
not mine.
Exactly. Right? They're the ones getting destroyed here, not us. But the whole fact is when he comes, the whole world is going to hear the trumpet call.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just going to be one place here, one place there. And it's not going to be only during a certain time of day that you hear it.
Oh.
It's going to be all at the same time. Everyone's going to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Wow, do you believe this? 11 minutes. Get your prayers in.
Oh, wow.
I swear he was going to say something so profound. Right? I was like,
did you hear what I was reading something
about? Oh my gosh.
But it was Tuesday, right? So it was talking about the transfiguration.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And how that was, it's just like a thing that people are like theorizing or whatever, and how it solidified Moses' faith and Elijah's faith in Jesus being the Messiah was that transfiguration was a meeting that happened all at the same time, from his time to the disciples, basically, and whatnot.
That'd be pretty sick.
Well, so yeah, just here, I mean, not that it doesn't make sense
right,
or anything like that or whatever. I just felt like, I don't know, it sounded pretty interesting because it speaks more on what solidified their faith. Not that it's factual or anything
right,
like that or whatever, but just from a different perspective of understanding just the power, you know, like he brought three separate time periods together in one moment to share the word, basically, and whatnot.
That would be
well,
really sick.
That's something that's possible with God.
Mm-hmm.
God, all things are possible.
Yeah,
so I believe in that, though. First thing is that you saw Jesus as he was.
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, the veil was removed for a moment, and those disciples were able to see him as he was. But then, he says, I'm not the Lord of the dead, I'm the Lord of the living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before Abraham was, I am.
Yeah.
You know, he said, you know, I saw Abraham. And so he's talking about, you know, Abraham's alive. Moses is alive.
That's why he limps now.
That's why the
so
church
we got from the, we got a little bit to go through in this chapter
be
too.
A long
yeah, we're
crawl
be picking
book,
it back.
It's going to be a long crawl for this book.
But it's good. I like it.
But I'm here for the long haul. So
we need the breakdown.
I would hope
so. Cool. We're just
because it's a lot simpler than what some people make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like some people go like real like
fast.
Where they really reach out there for some things, and you're just like, whoa,
keep it
dude,
in scripture, guys.
Yeah,
keep it in scripture.
Yeah, it's like I was saying, right? There's nothing to add to it, it's already there.
It's not some mystical prophecy, like crazy, like.
I literally
yeah,
read this, and I go, well, I know who wins.
Yeah.
But
yes.
I do want to talk to you right after, because there's something that I'm going to show
and
you
when
about
we start getting,
later.
When we start making
it's like chapter
12,
it's pretty
so
sick.
We're taking out the simplicity
something
of the gospel. You know what? He made this simple.
Mm-hmm.
He made it simple because I was telling Jackie earlier, it's his will that none would perish, that all would come to salvation.
Wow.
And so in that simplicity, it's going to be easy to understand. And when we start making it difficult or, oh, you got to read these codes and you got to read, it's like, no, it's simple.
His kingdom is simple. Yeah, there's a complexity.
Oh, I like those verses.
This is God's word, and I guarantee there's a lot of deep, deep stuff in there.
The passage, the reference is taking you to the Old Testament. It's right there. You simplify it. There's nothing to be added. It's right there.
Yeah.
It's just right there. You don't need to add no more. It's right there. And that's what I, as I'm searching it on my own, that's what I'm seeing. You don't need to add.
I already announced it, but you were talking.
Oh, we were studying because you guys are babbling. We're studying.
I said 11 minutes. Now it's 3.
I was talking about the Bible.
I don't think that's studying. I think that's just her. You're just watching her squirt a person.
So I just told her, don't lie.
Yes.
What did we just talk about?
I got eagle eyes.
I was teen angst.
I almost got upset for a second. I was like, I'm studying. What are you talking about?
You know, I just thank God.
Yeah, praise God.
I thank God.
Yeah, and there's,
you got
me,
my sister, guys. Yeah, I got all
the time. Yeah, I'm not even gonna.
You got 6 minutes. Don't rob us 6 minutes. Are you kidding me?
It's him.
Oh, there's
we got time.
Oh,
at least I got time now.
The star? Where's the star at?
The star.
Oh, Lord, have mercy on
16.
Oh, we haven't got there yet.
Tuesdays, right.
Thursdays, no, wait till next time.
Right.
But
alright, you guys ready for verse 13?
Are we going to verse
13?
13!
Yeah. 13!
Yeah, you have time.
Yeah, we got 6 minutes. We ain't gonna lose these 6 minutes. These are precious. We're only here for a blip.
You got it right there. Kathy, what they say. Come on.
Alright, here we go. 13.
Okay.
It says, and among the lampstands. We figured out the lampstands, all right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You ready for this?
We're ready.
Get your glasses on. We're about to get bombed right here.
I like it.
With someone like a son of man. Dang, that just didn't hit you guys, huh?
No.
That was like the most silence I've ever seen in my life.
From the air conditioner or you?
I like that one. All right, and among the lampstands, what are the lampstands? Remember, what are those?
Seven churches.
Seven churches.
Seven churches. Mm-hmm.
Was one like the Son of Man, referencing
Daniel.
Daniel, what?
Seven.
Seven.
13.
Yep.
13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, cheaters!
I thought you were going to study.
I actually did study that.
I'm just kidding. I'm just messing around.
Because the next spot actually talks about it right before it. Daniel 7:13.
Yeah. And we don't make this fun. It gets real boring. It gets really like a college coursey. You know what I mean? We don't want college coursey. We want
bam. No, go for it.
All right,
we're going to Daniel.
14,
are we going to
Daniel? 3:14.
Let's
have
first. Oh, did I not finish a verse?
And you have three.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You ready? You guys ready?
7.
Go ahead.
Okay,
we'll get there. We have that's 13. All right, we gotta finish. We gotta read.
We gotta finish 13
and read 14 with it. There's a reason.
Really?
Yeah,
we
have to read both.
Stop rushing,
Daniel. And Daniel references both.
All right, ready? Here we go. It says, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet. Wow, I wonder what that symbolizes. And with a golden sash around his chest. Oh, dude, how can we stop here? There's so much more.
Keep going.
No, that's not.
Purity and holiness.
Someone's got something for 13. This is from an anonymous source.
Must be that
someone who's
years.
Whose source is close with the Lord. It says Daniel 7:9-13. I mean 12. 4 verse 13.
Daniel
got
look
confused on
the
repeat Daniel 9:7.
So
the robe.
Daniel
7:9.
Oh, you're
seven.
You're
Daniel 7.
See, I bet you wanted to be anonymous.
13. I thought it was.
He knows we know the 7, 9 through whatever.
They don't know that.
I'm telling you, you should have read 14 too.
I know, it goes with it. Okay, let me read 14. All right. It says, the hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. All right, now we have the description of who the Son of Man is, right? What do you think all those things mean?
Purity and holy.
Yeah, just the whole thing. Holiness. They don't represent nothing crazy.
I mean, come on. You're pure whenever you're burning because you're.
What's the long robe? What does that represent?
Preaching.
Preaching?
Reaching down to earth, like God's robe, like where is the bottom of the robe?
Oh, I like that. We're in the train.
Yeah. And it goes like up.
It didn't say it on a train, it just said it was long for the girl.
It's a long robe.
You're thinking weddings.
Anyone else?
No, because Christ said when Jesus went to the grave, he came back leading in a train of people that he rescued from the grave.
That was a train of people, not a white garment.
Choo-choo.
What do you have?
Can I read the study part? It says, I saw someone like a son of man. This is a symbolic vision of Christ dressed as a priest and with a golden sash as a king. His white hair is a symbol of his eternity. His feet, like bronze, mean that no one will defeat him. Christ appears just like Daniel represents God, the universal judge.
See, I think some of those.
Amen.
I see, like, oh, I see some of those as true. I see some of those different.
Yeah.
Like, I see the white, the.
The white is the age of the days. Oh.
No, I see the white as. I see the white as the purity. As white as snow. That's what I see. So sinless, right? He was sinless sacrifice. That's what I see, right?
Yes. The gold is authority, king, like a king. You know.
I see the is like the like when you read Ephesians. What's the breastplate? Truth and righteousness, right? When you read in Ephesians.
I feel like for me, it also sounds a bit like for heaven, like the golden gates of heaven. Mm-hmm.
All
the kids should know this because we just went over it in kids' church.
Yeah. You guys went over Revelation? That's deep, bro.
Dang, those kids are getting tired.
The armor of God.
She threw you under the bus, Cyrus.
I'm not saying like that is what it is, but I see like the breastplate, the sash, is truth and righteousness.
Well, I just know how many times in the Bible that it says that the gold sash today represents, you know, like a king, a royalty, you know.
I don't know, show me.
I can find it.
No.
You can?
Thank you, Ellie. She knows what I'm talking about. We just went over this.
Where?
You weren't here.
What do you mean? I'm always here.
Ding, 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 ding. 8 o'clock.
For the Thursday.
Oh.
We are reading Daniel 7.
Hey, are you kidding me?
I am not joking. We are reading Daniel 7 after all of this. This is very good.
We're going to have to pick this one back up to read it.
What do you... So a king authority.
Yes.
Right? The robe representing a
what's back then?
Priest.
Let's do the king is like the number one, which we know he was and still is God. Right. Jesus. But I think it, with being the son of man... That's putting him in that royal spot.
Okay.
I'm just interpreting what that gold means to me.
Oh. But like in heaven, the gold is our gravel.
Nothing in heaven. Nobody's got any gold up there.
Mine says to go to Revelation 7:9, and it says after this. Oh wait, is that
seven?
Is that too far?
No, no, no. I always just be funny and say spoilers.
Spoiler.
Always bring us on letters.
I just hit you.
Okay, it says the great multitude and the white robe. So it would tell you what the right white robe represents.
Well, the robe was just long. It wasn't white.
What verse
were you back here? Oh, that is true. It's just long. It's not white. Wait a second. God's robe is only long.
All right, go ahead, Eric.
Oh, yeah. After this, I saw a great crowd, impossible to count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue standing before the throne of the Lamb, clothed in white, with palm branches in their hands. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone was dressed in white, though. That says that everyone was dressed in white.
Yeah, but representing that we're cleansed, right? From what we've done, and still do, and will do. Right?
Because of Jesus Christ. Okay.
Amen, right?
Amen.
Amen.
Daniel 7.
All right, Daniel 7.
We were going to let you push that in real quick. Jordan.
Oh, yeah. So we got...
Oh, me?
I wasn't really let's move off. Because like, there's so much more.
Yeah. I want to read Mike's text, too. He said,
I look up, well, I gotta go, I got at least like another 20 minutes to get started, bro.
We were talking about the lampstand.
Honestly.
Okay, reel it in.
All right, share it.
He was talking about the lampstand, and he says, later Jesus threatens to remove a church's lampstand. It somehow represents Jesus' authority over them, since he is able to remove them.
Okay. I think we'll buy anyway, spoiler alert.
And then Kathy's got to pray for the women's tea on Saturday, that there is a good turnout and for a beautiful fellowship. You should be there.
Sorry, if you do,
please.
You should get that
hair. All right,
it's a deal.
All right, who wants to stay for another 20 minutes?
No. Dude, me, bro.
Not me.
We're taking a vote.
Daniel 7.
You're out, buddy.
That's where the 20 minutes comes in.
Tuesday.
If you want Daniel 7, who wants it? Because okay, we'll stay here for another 20 minutes.
If you read, I think we got to do both.
Right?
If you read it and don't go through it, then we pick it up Tuesday.
I don't think I could do this. I'm going to be honest here.
All right, I think I can do this.
I can't do this. There's so much.
Okay, get your prayers in.
The rest of the team.
Last rip.
See, this is why time is
an illusion.
Oh, yeah. See, I can't wait till time is just gone, obliterated, or just eternal forever.
Soon.
That's it. Yeah, we can.
Anything after 35 is extra credit.
And we also have to be out of here before 9 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, we got
bad. Yeah, we're going to start right at 13.
Okay.
The word doesn't want to wait until
13, and then get Daniel, bring it in next time.
That's the plan. See, like, I see this as a representation of who we are in Christ. Because that's what Christ is.
Yeah.
Like, every aspect of it. The truth of righteousness.
There we go.
Right? Like, see, the purification.
I got time to read it all right. This weekend.
Right. The flaming eyes, because the light is all around. What does it say about
don't forget, we got to put those...
That was fantastic.
We got to put those tires in.
Oh, my goodness. What did you get out of
I'm
it?
I'm levitating.
I got to share with you what he showed me. Daniel 7 also goes into another spot, too.
Hey, one thing you gotta do
I can't. No, I'm not.
Pray for a women's tea on Saturday. And then she also, mom, grandma said, pray for Priscilla and baby Jason.
Oh, that'll be good for another hour.
Nothing?
An update for the prayer chain.
An update.
Jaden?
Yes. Priscilla's baby Jaden.
Come on.
Nicole? When did we see that over there?
For what?
At the Christian store. I've seen that.
She's 8 months pregnant and has an ultrasound tomorrow. That was yesterday.
Yeah.
Worried that there's something wrong. With the kids.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's kind of common too. Well, they call it gestational diabetes.
Yeah.
All right, Stephen. Prayer. You good? Catherine, prayer. All good.
She wants a girl and a boy. Oh no, it was Silas.
We got no prayer requests. All right. Sorry, prayer court.
Man, this is gonna go fast and it keeps up like this.
Oh no.
We're paying these people.
Yeah, prayer request.
Should we start at 5 so we can go longer?
I think I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah.
You're all good? Everything's crystal clear in your life.
Doesn't matter. You've got my back, so.
That's right.
Okay, I can't contest to that.
I'm going to keep praying for my sister.
We have to wait for Saturday for Tony's prayer. I'm joking.
I just got that.
Terrible, guys. Come on. Will we just read it? Will we just read in Romans?
Let him read.
pizza worms.
I'm sorry.
My dad is just mean, okay?
Oh, it's a joke.
I'll explain it to you afterwards.
I will tell you afterwards.
Eric,
since I said
it. Well, I just want to pay for my family, myself, my finances, my kids, and everyone here in my church. I love you.
Thank you. We love you too. We do love you.
So, kids.
Right. Do I have an intern at work today?
Kids.
I had the dude say, I love you back.
And you
well, he said it first, and I said it back. And I was like, dang.
And you said coworkers. Yeah. Okay.
It's crazy.
Yeah, we pray together. Am I coming to church on Sunday?
Sick.
Who is it?
One of the GCs?
Tina.
Mm-hmm. She gets her test results on Thursday.
And they will be good.
Amen.
Praise
the Lord Jesus. Any others? Mm-hmm. Well, my plan. Just look at my plan. I've been praying a lot for them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot.
Jackie O.
Yeah,
pray for O.
Yeah, no, yeah, we do, because we're getting spiritual in our dreams attacks.
I was going to say, you're getting spiritual.
It's a spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
And it's real.
No,
I completely agree. We feel it. And Orlando, but praise God, he was obedient. He woke up and he was praying. But pray that for us. And then just our clan and Memo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pray for Memo.
Something's, I was listening to something this morning. I have a preacher that I love to listen to, and he was talking about that, and it's just, you know, something's good. You know, he's angry. He's upset. So.
Because I've heard.
Orlando?
Huh?
The pastor you're listening
no,
to.
No, I mean, the devil's upset.
Oh, yeah.
Something, you know.
Because he lost.
He lost, and he's angry.
He knows,
oh, he's angry. Yeah.
He knows the end of the book,
always.
And
he knows
he's running
it.
A lot of time.
And he wants to. But, you know, just like today, you know, in Acts 2, you know, when they're two, they were chained in shackles.
Wow.
And together, they were praying and giving them in their statement in songs. It was got loose. That's how I feel. You're just angry. You just want to keep it there. But no.
And once they get to you,
rebuke the nerves. I'm being serious.
That's
though. Rebuke the nerves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't want to treat her in the game, so.
Pray for Nick since he wants it.
I didn't ask him yet. I was going to go back to him.
Oh.
Jeez, don't call him out like that. That's messed up.
But he won't say it anyway.
Yeah.
Right? He's scared. That's excellent. Yeah.
Pray for
his
some.
Job situation. 1 year old.
I'll do 1 week old.
Or just let him
know. He's got a 14-year-old.
Or just pray the people are for him.
No, unless the person asked for it, I don't pray for patience for people.
Oh,
just playing.
Oh, that's nice. I was thinking of getting a ukulele.
Don't want to be rebuked by the Lord.
They're fun. I can teach you how to play them.
Oh, I'm going to get one then.
Jacob. Request.
Just pray for the company while the boss is gone. You know?
Amen.
I wish there was more time in the day, but you know, it is what it is.
We ain't getting it. No, we getting that.
Yeah.
That's
always in my prayers. Connor? What about Connor?
His life situation.
Oh, Connor's lifestyle?
Jordan. Just imagine you say, I want to pray for patience. And the guy says, okay, I heard it. Pray for patience. No, God, that's not going to.
My God. 14 and 1.
Sloan's sleeping situation. She's transferring over to a different bed.
Ooh, from
did
the belt.
What's
that
called?
Did you
guys do it?
True. Yeah, kinda. Not really.
How far?
It's good, though.
It was probably like 80% in the crib, 20% outside the crib.
Because really of you good. Guys, not
That's
the baby.
Good. Because of us?
Oh, you're in the baby, you're in the crib with them?
Sick. That's how you can put it.
I can fit. She can't be in it though.
She'll be on your chest while you're in there, like stuck a little
I can imagine that.
That just that image just hit my head.
Yeah, right? That's why I thought.
Oh, she's still in the same room.
She's just right.
She's just finally like, oh man, it feels so good to get the whole
yes,
man. You stretch again. Wait a second. Before we start having side conversations,
okay.
Let's pray.
Let's get
all right. I just realized, I'm sorry.
Let's pray.
Okay.
We got it.
Fucking Daniel said that one.
Alright.
You guys ready?
Amen.
We're going to pray. Everyone ready?
Yes.
All right, let's all be in agreement.
Yes, and boss.
Definitely, Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Oh, thank you for this study. And even though we once again got through only a couple verses, thank you for the verses and the depth that you gave us, Father. And we ask that you would continue leading us and guiding us, Father. We ask your hand over this study, Father, that you would give us your wisdom, Lord, and your understanding, Father, on this book, so that we don't get led astray by our own thoughts or our own ways, Lord, but we focus on you and that you show us the things that you want to talk about in this book, Father. We ask your hand over every person here, Father, that you would just lead us and guide us in your spirit, Father. Fill us with your spirit daily. Fill us overflowing to where there's nothing but you in our hearts, Father. We ask that you would have your hands over the upcoming woman's tea, that you would just have your blessing over it, have your blessing over each person, Father, and just help it to go according to your will and that it would go well, Father. We just ask your blessing over the women as they enjoy this time with each other, Father. We ask your hand over my cousin Priscilla and her baby, Father. We just ask that you would keep them safe, help them to be filled by your spirit, Father, and whatever's going on in their life, help them to just have your hand protecting them, leading them and guiding them, Lord. Just be with them and strengthen them, Father. We ask your hand for Nicole and the health issues, Lord. We ask that you would just have your hand over her, heal her from this this insulin, this health issue that came up from birth, Father, from having a child. We ask that you would just correct it, Father. Correct whatever is wrong, Father, in her body, whatever went wrong, Father. We just ask that you would correct it and just heal her body back to what it's supposed to be, Father. We ask your hand over Tony's sister, that you would keep her safe and help her enjoy the time while she's out in Paris, Father. Help her to get back home safely afterwards, Father, to enjoy the time and come back safe, Father, and just help her to have an enjoyable time. We ask your hand over Eric and his family, and just we ask your blessing over his family, that you would lead them and guide them, Father, and that you would be in their lives, Father, over his close family, his immediate family, his family that's a little farther off. We ask that you would just have your blessing over each one, Father. And we ask your hand over Eric himself as well, Father, that you would continue filling him with your spirit. Continue just leading him and guiding him and help him to just be in your spirit as much as he can, Father. And we ask your hand over his co-workers as well, that they would see your hand in their lives, Father, and that if they know you, they just see you so powerfully that you just are working through their lives, Father. And if they don't know you, that you would show yourself to them, Father. We ask your hand over Tina and her upcoming test results, that they would be clean, that there's nothing wrong, and it's all been corrected and fixed, Father, because you've healed it. We just ask your hand over her life, Father, and that you would calm any nerves that she may have, Father, and help her to just be full of joy in your spirit, Father. We ask your hand over Mary's clan, anyone that's on that list that she prays for, Father. We ask that you would just bless each person with whatever they're going through and where they're at, Father. salvation, pain, anything, Father. We ask your healing hands over them and your blessing over them. We ask your hand over Jackie and Orlando, Father. The spiritual attacks, they're tough because sometimes you feel like you don't have the Spirit walking with you. You feel empty sometimes, and sometimes alone, even though you know you're not, because you say that you won't lead us or forsake us. But we just ask that you would fill them so powerfully with your presence, showing them that you're there protecting, leading, and guiding them, Father, and that you just have the best for them, even during this time where the enemy's attacking. We just ask your hand over them and your protection over them, Father. Guard their hearts, guard their house, guard their minds, Father. Help them to be obedient to you 100% of the time, Father. And we just ask this in the name of Jesus, and we ask that you would have your hand over their clan as well, Father. Bless each person, bless each family member, bless whatever they're going through, Father. Have your hand over them, and your will be done in each life, Father. We ask your hand over Memo and his family, that you would just be working in Memo while he's gone, Father, that you would be healing his body, but at the same time healing his mind. Help him to be full of your Spirit. Just speak to him while he's out, Father. We ask your hand over his family, that you would lead his family while he's gone, Father. That you would take place of the leader, Father. Not that you're not already the leader of their house, Father, but we just ask that you would just protect that household, Father. We ask your hand over my brother and his nerves, Father. Remove them all, Father. Help them to have no anxiety, no fear, no doubt, no anything that is not of you. We rebuke it right now, Father, because in reality it's not of you. You don't give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of confidence in you, Father. We just ask this in your name, Father. We ask that you would also have your hand over Nick and his job and school, Father. We just ask your blessings over him, that you would lead him and guide him to where he's supposed to be, Father. Help him to be full of your Spirit, Father, and wherever he goes, help him to shine your light ever so brightly, Father. We ask your hand over Jacob's company while the boss is gone. We ask that you would just lead it, that you would guide it, and you would nurture it, Father. Help each person that is in that company to shine your light, Father, and that you would give rest to those who work extra because the boss is gone, Father. And we do ask that you would have your hand over Connor as well. Whatever is going on in his life, we ask that you would correct it, Father. We ask that you would be in his life and that you would be strengthening him, Father. Help him to see your hand and to acknowledge your hand, Father, in his life. And Father, we ask your hand over Sloan and the sleeping arrangement and the family and everything, Father. We just ask that you would help them to adjust to the sleeping arrangement and that you would just bless the family, Father. Bless them with the leadership. Bless them with your Spirit. Bless them with your hand in their life, Father. We just ask this in the name of Jesus. Help us all to get home safely. In Jesus' name we say, amen.